Welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of Resilience is My Beauty with yours truly, Tawanta J. What's going on, family? How are you all doing? I hope everyone is doing amazing and everyone is feeling good. So you know what's up? Come on in the room. Come on in the room. Grab you something to drink. Get your drink and then have a sit down. Prop your feet up, honey. Yes. Go ahead and stretch. Stretch it out. We're going to do something different this time. Come on and stretch it out. Okay, and then once you've done that, just take a deep breath in. Exhale slow. Hey, 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 what's up? What's happening, family? How are you all doing? Oh my goodness, I've missed you so, so much. I hope everyone is doing well, feeling good, had a good day, had a good evening, whatever. It depends on what time you are listening to me right now. But I'm just hoping that everyone is feeling mighty, mighty good. Well, you know, I want to come on here and I want to talk to you a little bit. You know, you are my family, so, you know, I ain't trying to be all professional and all that good stuff. I'm just coming here with some special type of words of encouragement and also to put my personal testimony in it as well. But I wanted to connect with you all because I know for a lot of us sisters out there, and there may be some brothers that are listening, so welcome my brothers, but I know there are a lot of my sisters out there today that are have been struggling or dealing with fear and, you know, dealing with some other type of, you know, shortcomings in your life that has prevented you from doing what God has called you to do. And I know that with a lot of you all out there, you are still struggling, you're still dealing with a whole lot of stuff, you're still dealing with a whole lot of drama, and you're just trying to figure out how to get it together. Well, I could tell you from personal experience, you know, how, you know, fear can really mess you up and how you can allow your own self to mess yourself up. You know, forget about the outside world. Let's go right inside the pocket. Let's go right inside your heart. Let's go right inside your mindset. So we're going to go ahead and call this episode, "You Are Looking at the Wrong Person." Oh my goodness. You are looking at the wrong person. You are hearing wrong things from that person. You are looking at things that is not cool from that person. And do you know who that person is? Take a wild guess. Take a wild guess. No, it ain't your hubby. No, it ain't your friends. No, it's not your coworkers and all of that. Nope, nope, nope. I said don't even think about the outside world. Think about right in pocket. That is you. Yes, you are looking at the wrong person. You are looking at yourself. You're looking at your imperfections. You're looking at, you know, your shortcomings. You're looking at your weaknesses, and you are allowing all of those things to dominate and tell you what not to do versus what God has been telling you what to do for a long time, right? So we're going to go ahead and I'm going to share a little bit of history about my testimony for you. And here's the deal. I wanted to share with you in regards to when I was in college. When I was in college back in the day, I studied, you know, music. Music has always been my love. I enjoyed music. I love all different genres of music. And I grew up singing in the church, of course. I grew up, you know, singing in the choir. You know, my godfather, actually, he's the one actually, you know, noticed the gift. My mother didn't even know I could sing anything until my godfather, bless his soul, brought it to my mother's attention. And, you know, he said it in a cute way. My godfather Calvin, he was just the sweetest man, but he was so comical, you know, and he would come to my mom and he was like, "You know what? She can sing, you know, and I'm just mimicking his voice, you know." And my mom, she's like, "What are you talking about?" She's like, "Oh my God, she can sing. You need to hear her. She can sing, you know." And my mom, you know, eventually came around and she heard me sing and everything. And she didn't realize that what God had gifted her with or what have you. And well, she didn't realize the gift that was in me. But eventually, you know, I joined the church choir when I was around, what, 7, 8 years old or what have you. And I had my first solo in the choir, and it was by James Cleveland called "Touch Me." That's an old classic from back in the day, man. Oh my gosh. If y'all are fans of James Cleveland, the old school gospel, then you probably are familiar with some of his hits, right? Well, that was one of the songs that, you know, I had the opportunity to sing for the first time, you know, solo. And I was nervous. I was just shaking in my little shoes. I remember the concert so very, very well. It was at St. Matthew's Baptist Church right in Newark, New Jersey. I can't remember exactly the street, but I know it was somewhere downtown in Newark. And I remember our uniform. We had this long black skirt, and I think we had like an orange top or something like that. And it was crowded full of people. And I remember my mom, she was just so supportive and so proud of me that she wanted to share this blessing to other people, and which one of them was one of my teachers. It was my fourth grade teacher. Her name was Miss Paglione. Oh my gosh. Beautiful, beautiful Caucasian woman, long blonde hair. And I think she had invited her husband. I think that's who it was at that time. I can't quite remember, but I do remember her. And I remember her sitting in the audience, and I remember standing there. And I remember singing my solo and everything, and I did it. I did it well, you know. I mean, my voice was shaking, but I did well. All those great things. And, you know, as time passed on, I moved on and I got to high school, and, you know, I started joining the choir there. And, you know, being as though I was born and raised in Newark, New Jersey, what's up, Brick City? You know, I went to high school, which is Weekway High School, right off of Chancellor Avenue. And, you know, I joined the choir there. So this is back in the early mid 80s, you know. And I had another solo coming up, but this solo was not on purpose in a sense, meaning that I did not audition for it or anything like that. I just so happened to come into the choir room, or to the music room at that time. And, you know, I was listening to my peers singing, and I don't even know what they were singing for, but I think they probably was rehearsing because we were in the process of doing a concert in school. And so I heard them singing and everything. And one of my dear friends to this day, who is a Grammy Award winning artist, his name is Kenneth Bobian. Oh my God, love him. He was my choir brother, and he was also, director, of the choir when I was at Weekway at the time. And he was a year older than me. So, you know, he had introduced me to this song, and he asked me if I knew of this song. And I said, no, I don't know this song, you know. And he said, okay, let me feed you the words, and I want you to sing the melody, you know, sing the verse. And I said, okay, sure. So I sang the verse, and I did it. And he's like, okay, you are singing the song for the concert. I was like, say what there now? I was like, what? Now, I just came in the room because, you know, I love their voices. You know, it was Felicia Brown, I think, that was in there back in the day. I can't remember the other babies back then, but, you know, they just had some gorgeous voices back then. And I was just in awe by hearing the beautiful melodic sounds coming from that room. You know, I never, ever even thought that I would be coming, you know, leaving there with a lead solo. Okay. But that's how God had worked it out. And so, of course, you know, I was scared out of my mind because I didn't know what in the world, you know, he had put me in here for, you know, put me in this position. But, you know, I told my mom, and I know my mom, she was totally excited. And she said, take the Lord with you. You are anointed by God. You got it. You got it. Da, 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 all that good stuff. And then it came to the concert that evening. And I remember the concert. If y'all remember back in the day, back in the 70s, if not 80s, you know the choir's wardrobe, black and white. Very simple, very clean, nothing fancy back in those days, right? So just a simple black skirt and a white top. And I think I don't know if I had like a little black bow or a tie or whatever. I don't remember. I think I did. I don't know. But I know I had on a black skirt. That was our theme, you know, our choir wardrobe was black and white. And I remember standing on the, you know, you know, standing in front of everybody at my high school. And then it was time for me to do the song. And it was by Tremaine Hawkins, Change. A change, a change has come over me. Y'all remember that jam? Y'all remember that jam? That song is still a jam to this day. You know what I'm saying? So I did that song, man. I was scared out of my mind. Woo, Jesus. I was nervous. I was shaking in my little shoes and all that good stuff, man. But I did it anyway, right? And I had my mom who was sitting in the front. And I know my mom invited people. I know she did. I just can't remember who it was, but you know, I know that she was there because she was my number one supporter, of course. And you know, the whole program was absolutely amazing. You know, we did very, very well. And as a matter of fact, we did so well, you know, by, you know, thank God for our music teacher at that time and my personal mentor, Dr. Jennifer Johnson, bless her soul. You know, she pretty much, you know, got us out there, you know, and had us to even travel. That was our first time ever traveling, you know, outside of New Jersey, man, to showcase our gifts and our talents. We went to Boston and we sang at the Boston Conservatory. And, you know, we went to some other places back in the day and whatnot. It was an amazing, amazing experience, you know. And then as time that passed on, I moved on forward. And well, but before I say that, let me say this. I, you know, while I was still in high school, what have you, as I said, I do appreciate music. I love all different genres of music, and I love me some good quality R&B music. You know, I'm not into that raunchy, crazy, hard lyric garbage. That's so not R&B. That is so not music. It's just garbage. You heard me, okay? Don't ask me to repeat myself because you heard me the first time, okay? If you know good quality music, okay, that kind of music that lingers in your soul, right? That lasts for a lifetime, okay? That's the type of music I'm attracted to. So yeah, I love R&B music and stuff. I love good quality music. I love pop music, all that good stuff or whatever. But here's another turn of a musical avenue, I would say, that I was drawn to. And if y'all remember back in the day, well, they still have it, honestly, but back in the day, it was really prominent then on the PBS network, and that was the Metropolitan Opera. And they always showed, you know, classical opera, right? If y'all remember that back in the day. So they had La Boheme, they had Madame Butterfly, they had Aida, all these great, 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 you know, operas at the time. And that's how I, you know, fell in love, and that's how I was introduced, if you will, with Leontine Price and Pavarotti and Placido Domingo, all these great, great, great artists, man. And I was just attracted to all of that. And I was so attracted to the stage presence and the costumes and everything. I was really enjoying it. I didn't understand no word they were singing. And thank God for subtitles, y'all. You know, because the libretto was all about, you know, in a whole different foreign language and all that stuff. But I was learning things, too, at that time, not realizing what God was setting me up, you know, for my tomorrow, if you will. So as time passed on, I got to college and everything. And, you know, I joined the concert chorale there. And I went to Bethune-Cookman College. At that time, it was called college versus university today. And right at Daytona Beach, Florida, is the HBCU. And, you know, coming into this new world of music, it was totally stimulating. It was totally exciting. And, you know, it was actually something that I was already kind of aware of because, you know, when I was in high school, Dr. Jennifer Johnson, bless her soul, she did introduce, you know, those different components in music, okay? So we did learn a little bit of Latin. We did learn a little bit of theory. We learned a little bit of syncopation. We learned a little bit of everything, you know what I mean? So I kind of knew what I was getting myself into to some degree, but boy, oh boy, it was a huge, huge, huge difference for me, man. And so, like I said, I was really, really enjoying myself. I was really, really just loving the sounds of all of these beautiful voices, man. Man, oh, man. Because, you know, you come in as a freshman. If you are part of a organization, you know, like a choir, concert choir, or gospel choir, what have you, you know, they always want to perform. The upper class want to, you know, sing for the new students and all those great things. And so that's what they did. And, you know, I was just in awe. I was just like, oh my God, I'm at the right place at the right time. I'm just really enjoying myself. All that good stuff. So as time passed on or what have you, you know, I was getting myself comfortable. You know, I was singing in the first soprano section and all that good stuff because I'm a high soprano, all that good stuff. I got to that point, and my concert choir director by the name of Dr. Rebecca Walker Steele, dynamite woman, powerful woman, anointed woman, gifted woman, Lord have mercy. Woo, that woman was thebomb.com. But she was so old school. Oh my gosh, she was so old school, man. Very, very strict, very disciplined, but she knew her business. That's why I hands down, this woman knew her business, okay? And, you know, so she was, you know, sharing with the choir, you know, different things that she wanted to do in terms of building a repertoire for the choir in our future concerts and stuff, because they are known for traveling, you know, all over the country and all those things like that. So, you know, she brought it to our attention that there was a couple of songs that she wanted us to try out for, to audition for. So, you know, I'm like, okay, I could do this. I could go ahead and give it a shot or what have you. And I'll be honest with you, I don't even remember what song it was to this day. I don't remember the song. I remember the other two songs I mentioned to you earlier, but this one in particular, I just do not remember. But anyway, she had brought it to the soprano's attention to learn this, you know, to learn the song, and that whoever wanted to, you know, audition for it. And so I said, okay, I'll give it a shot, you know. And so my peers, you know, did their part and everything. And then it came to me. She called on my name. She said, Tawanta, come on, Tawanta. Okay. That's how she sounded. And so I went in, and it was full, and most of my peers was in the choir room and everything. And so I started out singing it and everything. And as I was getting into or what have you, she said, stop. And I'm like, okay, what happened? You know, what's going on? You are flat. Uh-uh. No. You can't sing this. You flat. Go sit down. Somebody, come on. And when she said that, I was in total shock. I was totally, like, upset. I was embarrassed. I was all of that. I could not believe that she just blasted me, you know, in front of my peers. And I'm not trying to, you know, say that I'm better than anybody or anything like that. That is not what I'm trying to portray or anything of that nature. I just was not expecting that type of response from her. And how she did it was just so heartbreaking that my whole concept of music, you know, was just totally gone. My self-esteem was gone. My confidence was gone. And she doesn't know how she killed me. You know what I mean? At that time. And so I sat down, you know, totally devastated, totally shocked, totally hurt, totally embarrassed, because here I am amongst all my peers who has phenomenal voices. And then when you hear their voices comparing to what was just told about your voice, you really feel, you know, so low. So, no pun intended, you really feel, you know, really horrible, right? And I'm getting somewhere with this. I'm getting somewhere with this, y'all. So, throughout that whole experience, throughout that whole time while I was in the choir and everything, you know, I still continued to stay in the choir for a while. And then I moved on, of course, to take voice lessons because that was in my major at the time. And I took my major at the time was supposed to be music education. And I say that for a reason. And I told my voice teacher, her name was at the time Dr. Gail, it was Miss Gail Robinson at that time. But now it's Dr. Gail Robinson Oturo. And so I told her what happened, and she basically had said to me to not allow what was said to me to, distract my purpose of being here, you know, at school, and that I have a beautiful voice and that my voice is very unique. It's one of a kind and all these other things. And I really couldn't grasp it, you know, because, you know, Dr. Steele, man, I love her deeply. But at that time, she really cut me, man. She broke me hard. But, you know, Miss Robinson, she's been through this numerous times with previous students. And of course, you know, she said that this is nothing new. She does that every now and then, blah, 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 and all those things. But it didn't really help me that much because I'm like, well, it sure hurt me and I didn't like it. And it made me feel really low. So in the meantime, she went, you know, we started to rehearse and practice on my voice and everything. And she said, you know what, Tawanta, you have a beautiful voice to the degree that your voice is perfect for an operatic soprano. And I'm looking at her like she lost her mind. And I'm like, excuse me? She said, you really have a lyrical soprano voice. I said, I do what now? Now, mind you guys, when I told you before, when I was in high school, you know, how I was drawn to PBS Network and watching the Metropolitan Opera and enjoying all of the presence of those great artists in the stage and all of that stuff. I don't even remember if I ever imagined myself doing that. I might have because, you know, I'm a kid, whatever. But never really took it that seriously. And for her to be even bring that to my attention, I didn't even dare thought about that. I was just totally appalled. You know, first of all, I just got slam dunked by my choir director telling me I can't sing. And now you telling me that I could sing opera. I'm like, where is this going, man? I grew up singing in the church. I've been singing gospel pretty much all my life. And here you come busting out talking about I have a lyrical soprano voice and I could sing opera? That is so not what I want to hear right now. You know? So I was totally rejecting what God was showing me. I was rejecting what God was revealing, what He was in the process of developing out of me, man. And I didn't see it at that time. I was just totally not in pocket. I was just totally not there at that time. And so it took a while for me to really, you know, accept, you know, this new thing, you know, that Miss Robinson shared with me. And then later on, of course, it was time for me to, you know, set up my schedule for the new semester, upcoming semester. And so for some reason or another, I looked at my courses and everything, and there was a couple of classes that I just had a major turn off. I don't know where I got that snobbish attitude from. Yeah, I'm telling on myself. But, you know, I just totally got turned off. And I think it was a foreign class. I want to say it was. And I'm like, I don't know this language. I don't want to learn this stuff, you know, whatever. So I just basically said, you know what? I'm changing my major. So I changed my major from music education to vocal performance in opera. So why did I do that? I don't know. Like I said, I had a moment. Okay. I can't even explain what that moment was. I just had a moment. And I had some of my mentors, my teachers, professors was telling me, oh, Tawanda, you need to stay where you are. You know, it's guaranteed that you will definitely be a teacher and you're certified, blah, blah, blah. Whereas a vocal performance, you know, you got to really work hard to get, you know, to get there and da, 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 da. And I didn't want to hear all that. I said, I'm going to do what I want to do. So basically, that's what happened. I switched my major to vocal performance. Now, mind you, you know, I still wasn't accepting this new calling, if you will, or whatever, about me being able to sing opera or classical music or anything like that. You know, here's the thing. I basically tolerated my gift. I did not appreciate my gift. And I always say that when I, you know, mentor people or whatever. I always say that at that time of my life, I tolerated my gift, but I didn't appreciate the gift. That's just two different things with that, man. I tolerated it, but I didn't give it my all. I tolerated it, but I did not embrace it all. I tolerated it, you know, but, you know, I just took it as a hobby. You know what I'm saying? And so, you know, I did what I needed to do. I did the requirements and all those things. Now, mind you, I was still in concert chorale. I was still singing. I was traveling, all those things. And of course, I did have an aria piece. I did have an aria. It was called Quando Menvo. And, you know, don't ask me to do it now because I did not vocalize, so I'm not even going to go there. But if you are familiar with classical music and all those things of that nature, you are pretty familiar with that aria piece. And I want to say, and this is, this person is, her name was Musetta. And, you know, she was singing this aria piece to get, I think to get her, get one of her men's jealous or something like that or whatever, causing some type of disturbance, you know? And I think this is from the piece, the opera, The Marriage of Figaro. I think that's what it came from. I should know this for sure, but I've been out of pocket for a while. But like I said, if you are a classical buff, you will know the whole piece. But anyway, I'd studied that piece, I learned it, and I performed it. And Dr. Steele decided to add that to the repertoire. So when we traveled, when we had a spring tour as well as a summer tour, most of the time I will be on that repertoire to sing in concert. And at the time, our president at Cookman, Dr. Oswald Bronson, bless his soul, he was one of my, I guess you want to say one of my fans, and his wife, Mrs. Bronson as well, bless their soul. They loved that aria. And every time we were asked to sing at an event on campus, he requested for me to sing that piece. Wow. Now, I'm thinking about it now, and I'm like, wow, God, you did this. Whereas back in the day, I didn't want to do it, okay, because I did not have that confidence. Like when I was 8 years old or when I was 15, 16 years old, my confidence was shot. It was lost. It was gone because of what my choir director said to me. But in spite of it, I did it anyway because I really loved the Bronsons. They were absolutely wonderful, wonderful people. And they loved their students. They loved the school and all of those things. And so I did it for that reason. I put all of my personal drama aside and I did it for them. And so as time passed on, you know, when we went on tour and all those things, I did it as well. Now, when I get on that stage now, yeah, I'm a whole different woman. I go in character and I do what I gotta do. Because I love stage. I love the acting, theatric part of it. I love it, man. It's amazing. But I did that. And so as time passed on, guys, I went on ahead, graduated from college. And I got to grad school.
and joined Morgan State University Choir under the direction of Dr. Nathan Carter. Phenomenal, powerful, oh my God, that brother, whoop. Yeah, God just touched him real good because that man was amazing. God bless his soul. But I was blessed and fortunate to be under his guidance and leadership, where he, called me to be, to travel with the choir to Europe, to go to Switzerland and to Germany. And man, oh man, that was just absolutely a beautiful experience for me personally. Now, of course, I was again in the first soprano, and Dr. Carter had a gifted ear. Oh my goodness. And he was one of those serious, old school, kind of crazy type, directors. Because back in them days, oh Jesus, I don't know what was up with them back in the day, but he was rough. Oh my gosh, he was something. But I mean, at the end of the day, this brother knew his business, okay? Just like Dr. Steele knew her business, he knew his business too. And so, I was just humbled and grateful that he saw something in me, or I would say he heard something of me versus what I heard myself. Because what I heard is what Dr. Steele said to me, that I was flat, that I couldn't sing, and this, that, or whatever. But Dr. Carter did not bring that to my attention. Dr. Carter did not say anything to me about I had a flat note or flat sound or whatever. And I'm, mind you, I'm a high soprano. So I'm one of those top sopranos that could get to a mini Ripperton kind of sound. Okay. And so, so there was some repertoire. There's some music, man, that Dr. Carter had sopranos going all the way across to Neptune and Venus. Okay. That's how I'm just saying. Okay. And we had to be on pitch. Just because you could get there, that don't mean that you were on pitch. Okay. So any of you musicologists out there, you know what I'm talking about, right? And so Dr. Carter would stop the whole program, and he did that one time, and this was a live recording, but he would stop even the mid part of rehearsal and go row from row or person by person on that row to find out who was singing a note lower than it should be on that sheet of paper. And boy, I'll be sweating, because as soon as he did that, immediately my mind went back to college in that choir room when Dr. Steele told me that I was flat. But thank God, I did it, y'all, and it wasn't me. Let's just say, it wasn't me. I think all of us sisters up there kind of straightened it up, because we knew how Dr. Carter was back in the day, right? And so at the end of the day, we did what we needed to do. I did try out for a solo. Dr. Carter had this song out, and it was by, oh my gosh, the movie with Whoopi Goldberg that played the nun. Sister Act, I think it was Sister Act. How many sister acts did she do? It was a two or three. Anyway, it was the one with Lauryn Hill. And I'm not sure it was Sister Act 2 or Sister Act 3. But do y'all remember the song? Joyful, joyful Lord, we adore thee, God of glory. You remember that one? Okay. Well, that was the song, because back then that movie came out, and that song was, the jam and all that good stuff. And then they played it on the gospel radio at the time, and it was just lit, right? So Dr. Carter decided to add that to the repertoire we have when we travel and stuff. So he wanted us to learn that song. Whoever wanted to audition for it could go and try it. So I said, I'm going to go ahead and make the effort, and I'm going to go ahead and try the song. And, again, I have peers in that choir, Jesus on the main line. Lord, have mercy. They got some song. They got some voices. They got some voices. Okay. Oh my goodness. So I tried out for the song. And I did it. And he didn't stop me, but my confidence was shaky. Because as I started it out, I really did not hit it as well as I should have because I was already allowing fear to dominate. I was already allowing the memories and the voice of my past to come, or my shortcomings or my weakness or whatever you want to call it, to dominate. And I started to listen to that voice. I was listening to that wrong person. I was listening to it, and then I pretty much just fell back. So my confidence was not 100%. And so with that, I did not get the solo part. One of my sister friends did. And, you know, again, I felt discouraged. I felt defeated. I felt all that stuff. Now, as time passed on, of course, after I left Morgan and everything, you know, I was still called to minister in song. I didn't do any opera stuff, any arias, anything like that. I basically got back into singing my gospel, and I did Greatest Thy Faithfulness. And that's one of my mom's favorite songs at the time. And so when I was asked to sing at the church program or what have you, I pretty much did not want to do it anymore because I was already, you know, consumed by the voice of Dr. Steele and her telling me, you know, I was flat and this, that, or whatever. And here it comes. I was comparing my voice with other people's voice and how I wish I could sound like them. I could sing like them and get all the attention and all this stuff. You get what I'm coming from. And my mom, thank God for my mother, she was just a wonderful, wonderful mom. And she was just telling me, you know, she said, baby, do not allow, you know, the enemy to distract your purpose. You know, she told me to take God with me. God has already gifted me with this voice to go forth and be a blessing to those who wants to hear. And, you know, I didn't want to do it, but I did it anyway. I did it reluctantly. So I would go on the stage. I would go ahead and sing Greatest Thy Faithfulness, but I didn't sing it from my heart because I still allow that voice, that person inside me to tell me that you can't sing. See, you sound flat. Your voice is not strong. Your voice is shaky. People are staring at you. They're not staring at you with love and with appreciation and with, you know what I mean? They're staring at you like, why are you on here? Why are you on the stage? You need to get off. You can't sing. Why are you standing here? You know, this is what I'm hoping I'm blessing somebody, because I know that there are a lot of us sisters out here that are dealing with some type of, you know, issues when it comes to your ministry, your calling, your purpose, or what have you. And you have allowed that wrong person. You have allowed the enemy to come and tell you, allow yourself to tell you that you can't do this, that you're not qualified, that you're not good enough, that you're not smart enough, that you're not powerful, and all this other stuff. You know, I'm telling you this for a purpose and a reason. Because this is what I experienced. This is what I dealt with. This is what I was dealing with for the majority of my lifetime. And it was going on for a long time. To the point, y'all, I stopped singing altogether. I did not want to sing on the stage. I didn't want to sing at church. I didn't want to do it no more because I just didn't believe I had what it took to be a professional singer. Mind you, my voice was recorded in the choir, both choirs at Cookman as well as Morgan State. You know, I was in recording studios, mind you, all of those things. I was so humbled and so blessed to be a part of that. It was amazing, you know, but I still didn't believe that I had the ability to minister in song. Okay. I was offered an opportunity to record solo, and I did that. But of course, you know, you got those professional artists out there, you know, producers and all of that. They got that ear, and you know, they stop you a couple of times and say, okay, you there, but you're not quite there. Get up there. It's a little bit more. And after a while, you get discouraged. And eventually, you know, it just didn't fall right for me. And I just basically just shut the door. I just stopped singing altogether. Now, years later, of course, I got married, had kids, this, that, or whatever, blah, 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 and dealing with a whole lot of other stuff going on top of that. And then, you know, God just, you know, had to talk to me about this. You know, God had to deal with me on that because he had gifted me with this voice for a purpose and a reason. It wasn't for me. I'm not the one that just incorporated singing. He did that for me. And so he gave me the gift to minister to the people that needs to hear his voice through my mouth. Okay. And so I had to really repent on that and say, God, forgive me, because, you know, something could have happened where I could have just lost my voice altogether. You know what I'm saying? And God does not take away what he has already given to you. What he gives you is yours. Please stop believing the lies of the enemy telling you that, well, what God give, he will take it away. No, he will not take it away. He is not an Indian giver. What he has given you, it is ordained. What he has given to you, it is solidified. It is not going away. You make the decision, yes, to choose, but you better be obedient to heed to what he has for you to do, because at the end of the day, it's not even about you anyway. It never was about you. This is for the kingdom of God, because he knows that there are people out there in this world today that are lost and that they need to hear him through the ministry that he has put inside of you. Okay, now let me move forward as time is winding down for me here. Now, I came across this scripture, which is one of my favorite scriptures in the book of Exodus. And it's about Moses. Y'all remember Moses, right? Moses, cool brother. The brother had it going on back in the day. But when Moses, you know, ran away because he killed an Egyptian man that killed one of his Hebrews brothers and everything. You know, he went away. He was gone for years and years and years. And then God God introduced himself to him and all these things. And God had an assignment for Moses. God had an assignment for him. And he wanted Moses to go forth and to talk to Pharaoh so he could get his people out of bondage. Now, Moses, what did Moses do, y'all? Moses had a cow. Moses had babies. Moses just tripped. He just went crazy. He just like, what? What? You want me to do what? I can't do that. No, I can't do that. I can't do that, God. Nope. I can't do that. Nope. 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 Now, Moses, he was nervous. He was scared. He was panicking, right? Because God had called him to go before Pharaoh and speak to Pharaoh directly to let his people go, to let God's people go. But Moses would not do it because why? He was afraid. And honestly, he didn't want to do it because he was afraid. He was listening to the wrong person. He was listening to his inadequacies. He was listening to his shortcomings. He was listening, you know, to, you know, his speech impediment. He was listening to all of that versus what God had already said to him, right? God had said, he said, go, I will help you speak. I will teach you what to say. God told him right up front, I will help you. I will direct your tongue. I will tell you what you need to say. You don't need to worry about. I'm fully aware of your shortcomings, but I also am fully aware of what I have given you. And so Moses, he's still dominated by the fear of his speech impediment, of his weaknesses, of his shortcomings. And after a while, he'd say, listen, God, I just can't do it. Get my brother Aaron to do it. And you know, and God just got fed up with him. He's like, okay, fine. Okay. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to have Aaron to talk, but you are still going to feed the information to Aaron, and Aaron's going to feed the information to Pharaoh. Okay, and you still going to do what I had called you to do, to get my people out of bondage, right? And so he did that, you know. But the thing about, and I love this so much, because I love the scripture so much, because God had made a commitment, a promise to us. Okay, we are the Moses of today. For those who have been called, we are the Moses of today. And there are a lot of us that have rejected what God had called us to do. We are still at that area in our lives right now, questioning God and wonder why you calling me to do it when you can actually get somebody else. They're more qualified than I am. They have more pedigree than I do. You know, they have the means. They have the financial support than I do. God don't care about that stuff. He put something in you, and now it is time to be birthed out. He said, this is the time that I'm going to use you to get my people out of bondage, to get my people out of this darkness, to give people hope, to give people some encouragement, to give people, you know, some enlightenment, to remind them as to what, who I am and what I am about. So I wanted to remind you this morning, everybody, about what you need to do. This is what you need to do. You need to not listen to the wrong person, which is you, but to listen to the Holy Spirit, which is inside of you. He is the one that has given you the gift. He is the one that has given you the ability. He is the one that knows your tomorrow. He is the one that already knows about your shortcomings. Remember, he's the one that created you. You did not create yourself now. He already knows every inch of you. If he knows the number of hair on your head, come on now. He knows you, right? And so you do not need to continue to allow fear, to allow your inadequacies, to allow your weaknesses to dominate and to rule and to tell you that you're not good enough. You are more than enough because you have the grace of God in you. You have the Holy Spirit in you. Just like with Moses, Moses didn't even realize who God was at that moment because he allowed fear to take control and to showcase who he was not. You are what God says you are. So you need to go forward, everybody. And you need to go forth and do what God has given you the ability to do. What is it that God has called you to do? What is it that God has been telling you to do for the past weeks, months, if not years already? Because I know, just like I told you my testimony, where I completely stopped singing altogether for some years, there's a lot of you that completely stopped working for some years. And I'm not talking about 9 to 5. I'm talking about working for the word of God, working in the ministry, working in your purpose, working in your calling, right? And that's why a lot of you are still not happy. That's why a lot of you are still not at peace. That's why still a lot of you are still not where you should be. You scratching your head wondering why I'm still stuck, why things are still not going well with me. Because you have been disobedient, because you have been listening to the wrong person. Okay? I'm hoping this is blessing you today. I'm hoping this is truly waking you up right now. I'm hoping this is really, you know, really having you to fall on your knees wherever you may be. Or if you sit in your car right now, I hope it is having you just to raise one hand, if not both, and then say, Lord, I repent. Please forgive me. Help me, oh Lord, to get back in alignment with you. And guess what, darling? He will do just that because he's not going to beat you up over your mistakes. That's not how God works. See, the world would do that. They will come back and start throwing hammers and nails and all kinds of weapons to you and tell you what you are not. But God is going to reveal the things of what you are and what you are becoming. Come on, somebody. Okay, so I had to learn that down through the years myself. I had to repent myself. And so while that I done all those things, God has been showing me some things and he has elevated me to some things and he's elevated me to something even better and greater, better than myself. Things that I didn't even dare not thought of being a part of. But I said, yes, Lord, it's your will. Let your will be done. Okay. I had to get confirmation now because I had to talk to the Lord like that. Say, okay, Lord, you revealed this to me, but I need confirmation because I ain't going to take this upon myself and assume that it's okay. But yes, he did. Confirmation 1, 2, 3, and a bonus, number 4. So all of that was proof to the pudding for me to realize that this was what God has called me to do. So my beloveds, where you are right now, it is not the end of your story, right? You can go ahead and continue on writing a new chapter of where God has taken you. This is the time and the moment for you to go forward and to do the assignment that he has on your life. Stop comparing yourself to others. Please don't do that, because you just slap God in the face. You saying that, God, you should have did this versus giving that all to them. No, he gave them equal amount of gifts and talents in them, just like he has given you the same amount as well. Okay, what they are doing, what they have in them, they doing it. What you got in them, what you doing with it? What you doing with it? Okay. See, Moses, he did not want to go to speak before Pharaoh because he allowed his weakness to dominate. He allowed that person in him, that voice in him. He listened to that. And as a result of that, he did not do what he was called to do at that time. But God still used him anyway. And see, that's the good thing too. See, God still uses people. He still uses you, but yet here's the thing. He starts to eventually develop you. He starts developing you, meaning that he would take that weakness and he would start molding and developing and creating, reshaping until you, when you, next thing you know, you actually dominated that area of your life, that area where it said to you that you're not qualified, that area where it said that you can't sing any better than that person, that area where, you know, you are the lead soloist of the church or whatever the case may be. You now have been elevated to that level, and you don't have no bachelor's, or you may not have no master's, or you may not have no doctorate degree or anything like that. You may not have a long list of accolades or what have you. God don't care about that stuff anyhow. When he calls you, you are fully equipped to go forth and minister to the people. God will take care of all of the inadequacies on the back end. Okay, that's the wonderful thing you got to know about God. God knows everything about you. We act like God don't know nothing about us. We just go ahead and we start looking at our in abilities and our issues as if God doesn't know you. We do that. We really, really do. And then later on, we think about it like, oh man. Oh, but God knows. He knew. But that doesn't stop him from calling you and saying, my daughter, it's time. It's time to move forward. It's time to go ahead and talk to the people. I have called you to be the prophetess. I have called you to be the elder. I have called you to be the minister. I have called you to be the missionary. I have called you to minister in song. I have called you to teach. I have called you to preach. I have called you to do what I have gifted you with to do. It is time for you. I have developed you. I have prepped you. Now move forward, right? Just like with Moses. Moses took how many years to get to this point? It took him about 20 plus, if not 30 some plus years to get to where he is now at that time before God mentioned to him what his assignment, what his purpose was. It took time for Moses to grow up. It took time for Moses, you know, to really learn more about God, right? And through the process where we are right now in our life, through this journey we call life, more than ever, I think a lot of us started to learn more about God and the goodness of who he is and what he has done in spite of all the hardships, in spite of all the challenges, in spite of all what we endured. Yet God has been mighty, mighty good, and he still is taking good care of you. He still continued to provide. He still continued to protect. He still continued to bless. Right? His grace and his mercy that continues to follow you all the days of your life. God loves you. Let that be noted. He loves you. He's not looking at your faults. He's not looking at your imperfections. He's not looking at none of that stuff right now. But he's taken all of that and he's going to develop it. He's going to remold it, reshape it. He's going to strengthen it. As you are taking this journey by trusting him completely, right? Because he made the promises to you that he will guide you. He will teach you. He will help you. He will do whatever he has to do for you. And all we got to do is just trust him and trust the process. Trust his plan, not your plan, but trust his plan, right? And everything will be all right. Everything is going to be all right. And I thank God for this journey. I thank God for what he's done for my life. I thank God for where he has kept me, right? Because now I'm able to testify, to share my testimony, my experiences of this journey to you, to let you know that God got something great in store for you, that all of the incidents that happened to you back in the day, all those who had hurted you, rejected you, denied you, right? Oh no, God did not forget that. God was preparing you and giving you that moment to really start to mold up, to shape up and all those things, and trusting him more and more, especially those silent seasons. You know, y'all familiar with those silent seasons where you don't hear from God and you just think God is not, he don't care no more. We just like, woe is me, woe is me. Trust me, God cares more than you know. And just because he's silent, it doesn't mean that he ain't working. Okay? He's working for your good. Everything is working out for your good, right? But you take that time and still look to the hills from which cometh your help. Your help comes from him. That's why you got to seek him first daily. Seek him first daily. So yes, beloved, before I go, we're going to come up, I'm going to close up with a prayer. But I want you all to know that you do not listen to that person. Do not listen to the wrong person. Do not listen to yourself, but listen to God. Listen to what he has to say to you. Allow him to direct your path. Allow him to order your steps and trust him every step of the way. You will make it. You have already made it. You are victorious in his name. So Father God, thank you for this blessing. Thank you for this platform. I pray that this has been a blessing to those listeners. I pray that this came right on time. I pray, oh God, that they have willingly have come to you right now and just repent to you, repented of all what they have done, and that you will welcome them back into your arms and get them back to alignment with you and direct their path accordingly. Help them, oh Lord, not to lean on their own understanding. Help them, oh Lord, not to listen to that wrong person, to listen to themselves, to listen to the enemy, but that they start to listen on you. And even when the enemy starts to creep around the corner and start showing his face or start saying some crazy stuff, that we will go directly to your word, oh God, and get fed by the promises of what you said you would do for us, that you would never leave us nor forsake us, that you have us, that you have our hands every step of the way. And so God, thank you, oh Lord. Help us to lean on your word. Help us to ride on everything you say, that what you would do for us. Teach us, oh Lord, to trust you, to believe in you, to believe in everything you said that you would do for us. Help us, oh Lord, to look at the plans you have for our lives versus looking at our own plans. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for giving us another chance to get this thing called life right. Thank you, Father God, for your love. Thank you, Father God, for your presence. Thank you, Father God, for your compassion. Thank you, God, for your grace and your mercy and unmerited favor. We give you praise this day in Jesus' name. Amen.